Welcome to Becoming Your Greatest Possible Self. I am Chris Burns, America's number one motivational speaker for fiery inspiration and GPS coach for entrepreneurs and high achievers. Each episode, we interview leaders and great role models who make a massive impact in the world to help you master yourself, take courageous action, and make every day your best day ever. For the woman of the hour, Miss Raven Blair Glover. I am so excited to have Raven, the talk show maven, on our show. Raven Blair Glover, formerly CNN radio personality, Raven, aka the talk show maven, known by many as Queen of Interview Marketing and Conversion. She's recipient of the 2016 President Lifetime Achievement Award, Global Women's Outstanding Leadership Award, and the Giant Community Award. As a child, she dreamt of being on radio. However, her journey didn't begin until she was 55 years of age at the ICU of a hospital while waiting by her mother's bedside for her to recover. That's when she realized that in order to truly be there for her mom, she had to change the direction of her life, and started her first interview podcast from a show into Amazing Woman of Power. Raven, are you ready to rock this?
I am so ready to rock.
She's
hello.
Ready. Yes. awesome. We're going to have a lot of fun here today. Thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule to come on and share with us, Raven. We appreciate you.
Absolutely. I was so excited. I thought it was yesterday. So I got ready yesterday. So, you and I we had kind of like a quick chat, and it was just one of those conversations that felt like we've always known each other.
That's right.
We've seen each other at New Media Summit, and we're like this, so I'm ready.
I love it, Raven. So we're going to dive right into the topic of the day, which is patterns and paradigms. So Raven, how has these distinctions of patterns and the distinction of a paradigm, which is a collective set of beliefs, how has that influenced you in your life, in your career, in your communities?
Well, you know what? It's so amazing that you said that, because I didn't know you were going to be talking about, patterns and paradigms. But yeah, it's a mindset shift to me. Mm. That's what it's been. It's been making that mindset shift to incorporate the both. And meaning, when I say incorporate the both, you do want to have patterns that you do, but you have to get rid of the old ones and let the new ones in. And when you do that, I mean, getting rid of the old ones, let's keep it real, that's like tough stuff, right? That's not easy breezy. Easier to say it than to do it.
Pulling out roots.
Oh, there you go. But when you make that mindset shift and you just say, hey, I'm not going to think about it, I'm just going to do it. I'm going to get rid of these old patterns by setting some new ones.
Yeah,
wow. Some new and improved patterns, baby.
That's right.
So you're right.
So these new patterns, why has that been important for you in your life to be able to replace those, get rid of the unserving and then design and create new ones that serve you?
That serve you. Yes, absolutely. Well, listen, the old ones was not serving me, or that some of them served me to a certain point in life. But I began to have limited beliefs instead of unlimited beliefs. I began to think, okay, when I started hitting my 40s, maybe I've done all I was supposed to do. And if I could just live and have a great life and be healthy, that was good enough. And it is great. I mean, there's some people that's not in that situation. There's no longer living, or they got health issues. And so, knock on wood, all that is good. But that's a blessing.
Right.
That's not the extent of your being, and that's what I had to realize, Chris. And I sadly, I did not even realize that at all. all until I hit the age of 55. Can you believe it? Half my doggone life. Wow. Yeah. You know, and then see what happened is my beautiful mom, Emily Blair, there she is. Isn't she gorgeous?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, she gave us like a night's notice that she was going to have to go into this hospital here, Methodist Hospital in Houston, Texas. Mm-hmm. And she had to have a serious operation. They thought she was going to be in there for about 10 hours. She was in there in the ICU unit for 3 weeks. And the hospital for six before she came out, but in the ICU unit for 3 weeks.
Wow.
You know, my mother walked in there looking like Lena Horne. When she walked out in 6 months, she had aged by 15 years.
Wow.
But that's when I had my wake up call that I needed to step up, show up and grow up. My mindset shift was made when I heard a great man by the name of Alex Mendojian on a conference call that I listened to from the hospital say these words. Listen, the quickest way to become an expert is to interview other experts. And that touched my heart, because as you shared about my bio, in my bio, that at 13 years old, I used to sneak to the radio station. So there was always that dream deep inside to be on radio. But I thought I was meant to spin records. But oh, no, I was meant to interview people like yourself, people like Alex, you know, all kind of great people, bring them to an audience of people like me. And at that time I was in my midlife. I was stuck in a rut. My mindset shift was shit. You know, so yeah, those old patterns and paradigms wasn't working. I had to change everything. Okay. And I had to step up, show up and grow up. And I did at the age of 55. Better late than never.
That's right. That's right.
Right.
There's nothing like the present moment.
Absolutely. And I changed it. I flipped it, you know, and got rid of the old, incorporate some new patterns and, you know, just made a lot of different changes in my life. And the people behind me on this wall that you can't see how far out and how long it goes. These are people I not just took pictures with, but people I've interviewed. You know, I'm talking, you know, basically Les Brown. Okay, Montel Williams, Lisa Sasvich, Sherry Shepherd, I could go on and on, Jack Canfield, Russell Simmons, even though I hear he's been a bad boy in the news, but I didn't know that. I didn't know that. I just interviewed. Brendan Fajard and Chris Burns, you know.
Yes.
Just to leave that. And so I was able to interview myself from my pain to my power, discovered my purpose, was on path and created patterns and paradigms that helped me not just be on purpose, but have a definite purpose. And I was able to go from 55 years old, being at my mother's side in the hospital, making $10 an hour, 20 hours a week, nobody knowing me, simply by interviewing these experts and along with ordinary people and extraordinary stories, I was able to work myself up through my pain, through my power, you know, and it's changed my life. I just recently got last year the Presidential Lifetime Achievement Award signed by Barack Obama.
Wow.
Yes, I wish my mother was alive to have seen that moment. And I had to go through a lot of stuff. And what we're going to be talking about today, leveraging the power of interviews, helped a sister out.
I love it. So let's dive into that more. What is it that you do specifically for your clients, and what are you working on today?
Okay, well, great thing to ask about. First of all, what I do with my clients is I love to work with people that felt like they never had a voice. They never got the recognition that they felt like they deserved. Maybe they felt like I did when I was growing up, like Casper, the friendly ghost, that, you know, I was there, but nobody seen me. You know what I'm saying, Chris? People were passing me up and I was letting them. You know, I was getting in my own way and get stuck. And maybe you got some emotional pain, you know, been abused in any kind of way or mistreated, and you've lost yourself. Your confidence is down. You know, you got this great business, but you feel stuck. Well, I'm your gal that can help you push past that by showing you how to use the power of your voice to push past your pain to your power so you too can live your life on purpose with a definite purpose, and show you how to do that simply by leveraging from the power of your voice and interviews. Yeah, that's what I help my clients do.
That's amazing. So you heard this advice that when you interview the experts, then you become in that realm and be seen. You become mm-hmm. seen as an expert.
Yes, yes.
And I love it. Yes, I love it too, yes. Because you get to learn and ask all these questions, whatever it is that you want to know in these interviews. So I love this 12-hour marathon. Yeah. It's like a seminar in a box every week.
Absolutely. And you said it. I get to ask the questions. You get to ask the yes. questions. Us interviewees, whether it's podcast, live stream, radio show, whether you're doing it for your book or your magazine, it doesn't matter. Just interview. Whether you're doing a telesummit or create products, everybody doesn't have to be a show. They don't call me Raven and Talk Show Maven for nothing. That's kind of a little cuckoo. And I got tons of shows, too many to name about, you know, but I got different passions. So I have different shows to meet that. But here's the thing is, you know, when you interview, you do become an influencer, a celebrity, a expert, the go-to guy and gal, as you know, Chris, because you are pretty much the Oprah in your niche, the Larry King in your niche. You pick your host. That's who you are. You are beyond just being a reporter, which reporters are great, but you're taking it serious. You're like Oprah. You're owning your platform, baby.
What's the difference in chips
and some M&Ms on the side?
What's the difference in being a reporter and being a host or a podcaster or something like that?
Yeah. Well, reporter, you know, they're very close. I mean, reporter, you're reporting the facts. Mm-hmm. You're going out there and you're reporting the news, the facts, or what's going on a particular thing. Mm-hmm. Being a talk show host, you can have a theme and you're actually bringing the facts and you're bringing the great people to introduce your audience. The only thing is, it's not just in a report. This is a show. Now, right. It can be an extension of a bunch of reports together that makes a show. Mm-hmm. We call them what, Chris? Episodes, right?
Yes.
You know? And they're around a topic, but it doesn't have to be on that particular topic. And having your own show, you're the executive producer, you're the host, you know. Well, they say you're the chief bottle washer or something back in the day.
Chief cook and bottle washer. Yep.
Yeah. You make the rules, you know. Yep. I mean, don't get too crazy on there. You'll be like Roseanne and you'll be off, you know. You got to watch what you say. You know, you got to think before you say it. But the point is, it's not a job. You know, it's not a one moment thing. You're not, you know, this is something that you're passionate about. This is your niche. This is why we love it, right? As business owners, because we can wrap our show around what we do, like you said, for our clients. I have a Make Money as a Talk Show host show. It's strictly for hosts.
Wow.
They want to make money with their show.
That's awesome.
You know, have a Careers from the Kitchen Table show. It's for people where we show them how to have a rocking business from their kitchen table, you know. And I have Super Bold Monday shows, kind of like Oprah Super Soul Sunday. And we teach them how to step into their boldness. And we let them leave with a challenge our guests bring to the table for that Monday. So you can create a show around your passion, your niche, and speak to different audiences. I love, 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 love it. Can you tell? Can you tell?
I can. We can, 100%. So when people are considering being an interviewer or having their own show, what's the first decision that you think they need to make to be able to either start on that journey and then to start on that journey? And then what's a decision that they have to make to be like great or excellent to be able to succeed at it?
Yeah, great questions, Chris. Well, you know, first thing you have to decide, like what I had to decide at the hospital. Okay, you're going to do a show. What's it going to be about? Who's your audience and what's your why? Because as you know, Chris, it's fun to do. But if you want to be, take it from a hobby to a business, there's going to be a lot of hard work.
Yep.
It's different from just jumping on and having a vanity type show just for fun. Right. I do those type of shows and I love them because I'm just, you know, I don't care. I'm just jumping on to have some fun. But when you get to the business aspect, it's some serious work in there. Yeah. So you want to understand your why. Because your why is going to get you through your mess, as you know, Chris. Your why is going to make you stay up late and Google and get, like you, the second part of your question, get really good at your craft and not just be a talk show host, you know, but be someone that's going to stand out in their industry. Mm-hmm. I learned quickly early on, because I started my show in 2006, and I learned quickly that it was a lot of hosts out there, and it's probably five times as many now, because it's much more popular and easier to do. And I knew that I needed to stand out in a way. How am I going to make myself stand out among the sea of talk show hosts? And so you, you got to figure out what's going to make you different. What's going to make you pop? What's going to make your show unique? What's going to make you stand out so that you can, you know, get those followers that's going to want to tune in? And why for you? Number one, you got to ask, why am I doing it? And then next, why for your audience? Why should they listen? And then why your guests? Why should your guests even consider being on your show? Why would Oscar winner Lou Gossett Jr. want to be on your show? Why would Les Brown, Lisa Sasfridge, whoever your Shiro or hero want to be on your show? You know, what's the reason for this? What's the real reason?
Question, when people are first starting out, how do they tap into the power of that why for these big heroes of theirs if they don't really have much in terms of assets or viewership or anything like that to justify why it would be of benefit for them?
Oh, I love that question. And very good question, because when I started my show from the hospital, I was just a great wife, you know, and a fabulous mom. Nobody knew me. I hadn't done anything out there. So in answer to your question, if you understand what the guest is looking for, what's their hot spot, you know, then you can ask them in confidence. See, with the guests like, you know, the ones that I've been blessed to interview, the people you see on this wall, you have to really know why would they want to be on your show or anybody's show. And that's because they want some type of exposure on something. Well, there's the question, you know, and I teach something called the icon interview formula. And I'm going to see if I can pull that up on the screen. Here it is right here. And I stands for you got to investigate. You got to really investigate why they would do it. For instance, do they have a charity or a cause going on? You know, is, have they been tweeting about something that you know is of interest to them? You know, do they have a movie coming on? Have they not been in, had exposure in a while and they need it? Investigate what the reason is. And then when you investigate, you easily be able to connect with their publicist, their manager, and maybe even them, whoever, you know, you end up talking to, you will have a better connection with them. You will connect with them in a great way, that they're more likely to say yes than no, because you've done a good job when it comes to investigate. Follow me so far, Chris?
Yep, absolutely.
Okay. And then you got to own your platform. When I go and I ask for an interview, I'm not saying I got this podcast, or I'm not saying I got this internet.
This little project I've been working on.
Yeah. I'm not saying none of that. Let me change my glasses here. I'm basically telling them, hey, you know, I'm Raven, a talk show maven, and I got this rocking show, baby, that you gotta be on. And my listeners are ready for you because they understand, and they, you know, you talk about how important it is to step out of fear and to stop procrastination and to, you know, if I'm talking to Les Brown, and to, you know, unleash the greatness within, you know, but we gotta be hungry for success. You know, when you say that, Les, well, my listeners need to hear that. Are you open to coming on Careers from the Kitchen Table and talk to home-based business owners and share with them a little about your story? You know, when you and your brother was born in the garage and you know, and that, it's all about the ask. And you owning your platform, standing in your power, speaking with confidence that they can't help but say yes rather than no. And then the last is the end, Chris. Get to the nitty gritty. They ain't got no long time up in here, up in here.
I love that. So this icon formula is the perfect recipe to get people, high-level people, on the show. And I love the investigate part. Do your research. Find out if they're launching a book, if they got any upcoming programs or courses or events like that you can say, hey, I want to help you fill your event. I want to help you sell books. I know Lewis Howes was a big podcaster that I looked up to for a while. And he said that he would go on people's shows if they would pre-order, you know, 500 books to give out to their audience. If it was a smaller show that didn't quite have the reach, that he would go on these shows to like kind of make deals and help out when he was looking to get his book out. So it was just really awesome because the people who do the work to investigate are able to help out. So I love this, the icon formula. And when people do that, they'll be able to get high name, epic people on their show.
Yeah, if they ask for it. I mean, and they've got to want it because, you know, I mean, to be honest, I started off interviewing ordinary people with extraordinary stories, you know. And then, like I said, I realized you were talking about taking it to the next level and you know, just becoming a bigger and better host. Well, I had to go out and do the same thing Oprah did. Remember when Oprah started, she did all these great topics that people were interested in. And then I remember one day we cut the TV on OMG. She was starting to have celebrity after celebrity after celebrity, right?
Wow.
Yeah. So she quickly knew she was already humongous, but she knew that by leveraging off the power of those huge celebrities she had out there, Michael Jackson or whoever it was, she would be not only tapping into her audience, but she would be tapping into their audience. Mm-hmm. And at that time, their audience was bigger than Oprah. Not now, but I'm saying when, you know, doing the Oprah show in the early years. Yeah. And so that's the same thing that I've learned to do and that I teach my clients to do. Yes, interview everyday people like us because, you know, people will resonate from our story. We're where our listeners are at. You know, a lot of times people can't resonate with the celebrity because they're celebrities. But when you can bring them on and you can, you know, get past the celebrity stuff, I don't really spend a lot of time talking about their celebrity days. Right. I spend more time talking about the things that they went through. And I know you're that type of interviewer too, Chris, you know. So, you know, because I'm like everybody here. I mean, you can go on TMZ and hear about their celebrity days, right, Chris? You know, I want to get something deeper. Of course, we're going to honor that. And we're going to talk a little bit about it, you know, but now we're getting into interview techniques. So stop me.
I love it. I love it. I wanted to ask you a question because I think some people in our audience might be wondering, well, how big should I aspire my show to be? Like what is important for me? What do I focus on? What's the vision as we're cultivating the why? What's that why that I should create? And there's this place of should, which kind of, you know, puts it outside of themselves, external authority and stuff. Yeah. And I wanted to ask you this question of, do you think when Oprah was first starting out, do you think she had such a big vision to impact the entire world? And is it wrong or right or better or worse? Or what's your opinion on having such a big, big vision of impacting the world? Or should we start smaller?
Okay, so Chris, that was 3-1. So I'm 67, so you may have to roll it back on a couple of those. I'm like, okay, ain't no spring chicken in here. I'm supposed to remember all that. No, I'm just kidding. No, okay, so I'm going to try to remember. I may not have them in order. Okay, let's start with Oprah because that one stands out. Yeah. Okay, for me, like, I can never imagine Oprah not thinking big and not thinking she wants to make it a bigger impact. Because before she started interviewing celebrities, Chris, I know you're a lot younger than me, so I don't even know if you were watching Oprah back then. But if you were to look at some of her old ones, and she talked more community affair type of news type stuff, you know, I mean, she would get in there with the Ku Klux Klan and talk about this or people that are slaughtering cows or whatever. She asked the tough questions and she got known for that, you know, and I'm sure her vision back then was to make an impact. And that's why she went places that other people were afraid to go. Okay. She wasn't afraid of controversy. And then she realized that, okay, I can, you know, get into a bigger audience. I can still share this, but I can also bring in the celebrities. So I hope that answers that question.
Yep.
Okay. So the other question, help us sister out.
should people have a big vision or a small vision when they're first starting out?
I think they should have, and you know, if the right answer is big vision. But I think they should have the vision that they feel closest to, okay? You know, because it's okay to start off with the small vision until you're comfortable and ready for the big vision.
Yeah.
See, we can't go on anybody's time but ours. You know, so I was always a big dreamer as a kid. Were you, Chris?
Yeah, actually, I wasn't.
You wasn't? Okay. I was an introvert, so I always, but an extrovert inside, okay? Mm. You know, so I knew that, okay, people look, I felt like an introvert. I felt small because I kind of shared some of the stuff I went through, you know, my life, not having the recognition and stuff, feeling like Casper. But inside, deep inside, I was this girl that used to ask her dad to build her a stage. Mm. I was this girl that snuck down to the radio station. So there was another Raven in there that was busting to get out. She just didn't get out till she turned 55, you know. And when I look back at it, I said, well, maybe I wasn't ready. It wasn't meant for me to do, because I, you know, I got into sales and got really good at sales, always top 1-3 in the company. Mm-hmm. So I learned to gift the gab. I learned to be a good listener. I learned to ask the right questions. You have to be in sales. You see what I'm saying? Right. So I believe my path was in, you know, it was not at that point when I really wanted to be right out of high school. But at that age, I had been through some stuff. Mm. Okay. And I was okay with speaking my truth. Yeah. And I had turned my life around so I could bring a lot more. And then when I started doing that, I realized I wanted more. Mm. My vision was too small. I was thinking I had a kitchen table radio show. In fact, that was my first course, kitchen table radio. But I had to act like I wasn't sitting at the kitchen table interviewing these people. Mm. When I interviewed Montel Williams, I remember my chest began to stick out. And I went from sitting like this to sitting like this. And that morning, instead of me, because I was on the radio, nobody could see me, instead of me doing interviews, you know, with my robe on or pajamas on, I dressed for that interview because I was like, I'm getting ready to interview Montel Williams. And he had just finished his long series of being on the show. So I felt really good. I felt really proud of myself. And then I realized I had to open my vision, make it bigger, that no longer was I sitting at a kitchen table radio show or considered that, even though I was at my kitchen table. But now I was sitting in the big girl's chair. I pretended like I was on CNN and NBC and CBS and MSNBC. And I was talking to Montel Williams, baby. You better know it. And Oprah, I'm on my way. That's how I felt. And guess what? I ended up being on CNN radio for almost 2 years. Wow. Because I began to look bigger, think bigger, mm-hmm. dream bigger.
So is that the kind of go-to recommendation, or would you recommend that to our listeners, our audience, who is saying, I want to experience great things in my life? Do you recommend that they put themselves in those future situations and start acting as if?
Act as if. Absolutely. Yes. All the greats will tell you to act as if, you know, speak as if. Mm. What you think about, you bring about. What you speak about, you bring about. Don't look at it as lying. Look at it as speaking it in existence. That's right. Stretching the truth a little bit, but you're speaking it in existence. Mm. You know, you got to do that. You got to think big and dream bigger.
I love it.
When you're ready to. Because I don't believe anybody should do what they're really not want to do. You got to really love doing what you do. Whether you're doing it for yourself or whether you want to bring a great message to the world, whatever your cause is, you got to love it. You got to jump out of bed and want to work it. Because the one thing about this, you know, as I teach my clients, Chris, this is not a hobby. I don't teach my people how to be a talk show host. I teach them how to be a talk show host first. Right. But then once they get that show up, we move from talk show host to talk showpreneur, baby, really quick.
Let's start diving into the distinctions of that, of earning income from our talk show. How do we do that?
Lots of ways. One of the ways that you do is when you're speaking, whether you're doing it live stream, podcast, or radio, you know, when you get on there to do your show, don't think of it as doing a show. I always teach my clients, don't think of doing your next show, even if it's a weekly show. Think of it, or daily show. Think of it as creating your next product.
Ooh.
Yes. Wow. So I never think of myself as doing a show, Even if it's a fun show, I started a show just today with some girls called Conversations from the Kitchen Table. And we're just doing hot topics and stuff. Mm-hmm. And they were surprised because one of the things I said is, yeah, we're going to turn this show into a product. And when people sign up, we'll give it away. Give it away as a freebie. Mm. You see what I'm saying? So always think, no matter what the show is, it's a product. And then you have so many different ways. What we want to talk about today is leveraging and repurposing. And that's, you know, one of your money trails. Mm-hmm. So one of the ways you can leverage it is send it out to rev.com or fiverr.com, have them transcribe it. Mm-hmm. And then when they transcribe it, you know, then you can put it in blog posts. You can slice it up. You know, you can do show notes, you know, do some real great graphics around the show notes and, mm-hmm. you know, sell it. You can put the stuff in a membership. You can turn the the audios from an MP3 or video into a CD or DVD series or even electronical series. You know, you can take your show and create a course around it. Oh my God, we need another hour to talk about the many ways. There are so many ways, you know, and I'm one of those people that many people say if they ever ask for it, run. I've heard that said and don't do it. But I'm proud to say I've been doing it since 2008. Mm-hmm. That I am one of the very few talk show hosts that does charge guest sponsorships. Mm. If someone wants to come on and promote their book, their live event, their course, or they just want to get some credibility, we have show packages for guest sponsors. Mm. I don't feel like there's nothing wrong with that. I am not, read my lips, not running a hobby, baby. I am running a business. I'm not your talk show host. I'm not your interviewer. I'm a talk show host and interviewpreneur. Cha-ching. Yes.
Ding.
Yes. My bell. My sales bell. My sales bell closed, babe. Every time I get one.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. And I keep my money around me. Yeah, my $1 million bill. See, I surround myself. Look, my money glasses.
Yes.
I surround myself with money. Money, business, anything that will remind me this is not a hobby. And I had to do this because from 2006 to 2008, I was almost out on the street. And I had to pay someone, actually it was Alex Mendozian. He did this limo coaching and $200. Listen, I wasn't even making $200 at that time. And my then husband was putting sticky notes every day reminding me he wanted a divorce. So Raven was in bad shape. I had a couple shows, but none of them was live, but one of them was about to be Raven live from the streets of Houston because I was getting ready to get kicked out of my house. Wow. And so I reached out and emailed Alex and said, hey, are you still doing those limo coaching sessions where it's from his house to the airport, you could ask him anything for $200.
Wow.
And I borrowed that $200 and I got coached and he woke me up. He said, you're doing great interviews. The interview with Montel Williams, you know, Fran Drescher from The Nanny, Lindsay Wagner from Bionic Woman, all these great interviews was great. But he asked me, how are you making your money? And I wasn't. And I had to turn things around really quickly. Wow. And so that's why I am so adamant and passionate with helping other live stream podcasters, YouTubers that don't have a good, if you can get a corporate sponsor, get one. That's another way you can make money. I have one now that's been with me for years. But you got to make that first dollar. And if that's where you're at, then those are the people I love to help because I've been where they were. Mm. I, you know, wore the t-shirt, drank out the coffee cup and all that. Been in the pain, almost homeless. And I can tell you what worked for me, not now, but what worked for me when I was where you're at. Mm. And that's important to know, don't you think, Chris?
Yeah.
Because we're different now. I'm different now. Absolutely. I can charge more. People do know me now. You know what I'm saying? I've got all these great people that I interview. But what happened before when I didn't have all that? Yeah. And that's what I want you to know. You can make money. You can, if I don't care if you charge $25 for a 30-second commercial and you call it a marquee commercial, that's where the host announces the commercial. Mm. You know, when I first started doing my show, I just would get a card. I don't have no cards around me now, but mine. But let's just say this was somebody else's card. Oh, let's see. Do we have a card? Here we go. So I would just get a card from someone on my shows when I collect cards. Okay, I can't look cute anymore. I got to put my glasses on so I can. So like I would say, you know, you listen to Women Power Talk Radio, the show that's designed for the boomer woman in mind and the men who love them. And today's show is sponsored by Rihanna Milne. Yes, yes, yes. Rihanna Milne, hey, if she's an educational speaker and a global certified life coach, and she helps entrepreneurs in getting their relationship right, in getting their business and personal relationship right, the life and love transformational life expert. Mm. Give her a call today, Rihanna Milne, and tell her that you heard about her from Raven Blair Glover. Give her a call at 888-888-888. If people hear you say that you have a sponsor on your show, and that, you know, they hear you advertising just these business names, then someone will email you and say, hey, wow, how can I get my business on your show? Wow. You got to start somewhere, baby. Cha-ching, 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 cha-ching.
I love it. And what I love most, Raven, is that you're so in the field, even though you may be, you know, far ahead of where most people are when they're first starting, right? Like, you're still in the field looking at what's working, and you know about summits, you know about sponsorships, you know about these technologies that still work, that still produce results, and you have clients that are producing results from the coaching that you give, which I think that's the number one test is, like, are people experiencing results? Are the differences being made in these people's lives? And I love that you're just showing up and you're so curious about the industry. You're constantly making shows. I love that that's who you are, man.
You know, it's all about the clients. I mean, I always say this, you know, you can't really consider yourself a coach if you're the only one getting results from it, you know. Wow. And we have a website. If I think, but before we hang up, I'll give it to your listeners. But where we have tons and tons and tons of testimonials on there. And before, when someone sets a session with me, I will email them back and say, look, I'm looking forward to us having this time together. But here's what I need for you to do. Before we speak tomorrow at such and such and such, I need you to go here and listen to what some of my previous clients and talk show hosts are saying. You know, and the first thing when I talk to them the next day, first thing I'm going to ask them is, what did you like best about what you heard? Because see, I'm getting that objection that they don't know me or they need to check out my clients out the way. Wow. And if we have more time, that's one of the things that I teach. So yes, I'm all about, you know, helping the clients and my new clients, my potential clients, hearing from my old clients. Yes.
Wow. That's amazing. So you invite your potential clients to reach out to the older clients or clients who've already been a client and ask them what their experience was like.
Well, I don't ask them to reach out. I would never do that. You know, okay. They're free. I don't tell them to or not. No, what I'm saying is we have a website that it has tons and tons of written and audio and video testimonials from our clients, you know.
Got it.
So, and it always has a person's name and link. Yeah, they're free to do that. But, you know, I love audio and video testimonials because I feel like anybody can read anything written. But when I'm looking and listening to testimonials, I'm hearing the person's passion. I'm hearing their voice. I'm hearing the realness. So I you'll see more audio and video testimonials than you will on written because I'm really big on people really hearing from that person. And you can't, you know, you can read the email, but it's much different if you can hear when their voice cracks. You can hear that moment where they were stuck. You can hear and feel it. Yeah, that's the word. You can feel it, not just see it and not just hear it. And that's when you know, okay, these aren't just some testimonials or up here. This is realness. Yeah.
Yeah. I love it. I love it. just for people who are getting started, what do you think is one of the biggest misconceptions or things that they are doing not effectively in building their show and being able to monetize from it?
Oh, well, here's the biggest thing, the biggest misconception, the biggest thing that people are not doing, the biggest disbelief is, mm-hmm. I'm going to tell you a little bit about that. The biggest thing people are not doing is asking for help, asking for collaborations, asking for interviews, and sure enough, asking for the money. Okay. The other thing is they're buying into the fact that, you know, because you're a talk show host, you can't make money. You're just supposed to be a service show and be here to service others by bringing good news, bringing good facts, bringing good interviews, bringing good guests. But oh no, you can't make the money, you know? So yeah. And I remember I used to go to live events and everybody's loading me with their books and their CDs and all that stuff, you know, and I'm like, okay, I'll check it out and I'll give you a call when I get back. Friendliest people in the world. And the minute you get them on the phone and you make them an offer to be on your show, then all of a sudden things are different. Well, one of the things I feel passionate about being in this industry is changing that. Mm. And it all starts with the host first understanding that baby, yes, you are worthy of it. You are worth it. Your show is worth it. And you have to understand and believe that you're worth it and your show is worth it. It's more than just a show. You're bringing value. You're taking your guests through an experience like Chris has taken me. You know, you're helping them to make breakthroughs, big breakthroughs, big breakthroughs. By listening to your show, whether you're doing it solo, whether you're bringing on a panel, whether you're interviewing, you know, so when you got to buy into that, Chris, everybody's watching now has to buy into that before they will begin to make any money with their show. And definitely before they will get consistent in his 6 and 7 figures with it, they have to buy that their show is worthy. They're not a host. You're a talk showpreneur or interviewpreneur. And I teach my clients that because they have to have that preneur mindset or they'll keep treating it like a hobby and never get to the business status. You know, it doesn't matter how many calls you're on or how many audios you listen to. It's about the work you do to make that change.
Well, it's also about the framework that you have. You have a framework that's produced results for you, a business model, a mindset, distinctions that produce the results. And for example, you mentioned everyone, like, I have to buy into that my show provides breakthroughs for everyone involved, for the guests, for the audience, for myself. And that's something that I haven't contextualized or been able to articulate up to this point. And if I focused on that and meditated on that and said, what can I add, change, shift, take away, whatever it might be, to my show so that it achieves that that result? And you know those points, the languaging on what makes a show create those breakthroughs and not only the breakthrough part, but all the components and interlinking parts that create an epic show that actually produce money.
Yeah. Absolutely. The framework is important, but even bigger than the framework, but you're right. You got to have that framework. You got to have that structure because that's your roadmap. But bigger than that is you becoming a master at implementing. Yeah. Because see, we dropped the ball there. Like I said, we can have the framework. You know, sometimes I call that when I'm speaking with my clients is we're busy getting ready to get ready. You know, clean my desk. I got my structure. I got my plan. Oh, everything looks so great. But you haven't began to implement anything. Then it's time for implementation time. And you're like, oh, but first I got to run to the store. Oh, the phone rang. Got to answer that. You see what I'm saying? Yeah.
Yep.
I've been there. Does it, can you tell?
Yep.
Yeah.
Wow. So that getting ready to get ready.
You have no money.
What can we do to break through that quickly?
The best thing that you can do to break through that is just tell yourself, I will break through it. I'm ready to break through it. Give yourself some affirmations. Take the blueprint that you have. And if you don't have one, I'll give you a way to contact me later and we can help you with that. But, you know, ask for help, ask for help and do the thing to have the power. The best way to break through, simple and easy, is break through.
Just do it.
Stop procrastinating. Yeah, be an action taker, yes. Not a procrastinator. Step into your power. Mm. Own it.
That's right.
And just simply go for it.
That's right.
Just do it. Mm.
So beautiful. So beautiful. So, Raven, we're beginning to wrap up here. Is there any other lessons or wisdom that you've picked up along the years? Because you're just full of these distinctions, the experiences with all these amazing people and experts, celebrities. Anything else that you feel like our audience should be hearing or needs to hear or will make a big difference for them?
I just encourage your audience. I'm going to talk to two people real quickly. One, the person that does not have a show.
Okay.
You know, if you don't have a show and you have a message, a heartfelt message you want inside, then, you know, quickly make a decision on what you really feel like you want people to know and you want to help people with. And then pick a platform, any platform. It's like cars. Do you want a podcast, radio show, live stream? Make it easy for yourself. I say you should always start with the audio format. You know, because that way, if you have tech issues, that's the easy breezy way, right, Chris? Mm-hmm. When you go live like you are now, that's a lot of us work. So start the easy breezy way and just speak. Whether you have one person or no people, remember, you're not doing a show, you're doing a product. So if no one shows up, you still can package that boy up and sell it. Mm. And remember, just continue speaking from your heart. When I got my first award, someone contacted me and said, congratulations on being one of the top 100 podcasts. And I had less than, I'm sure, 25 people listening to me, and 15 of them were family and friends. Mm. So, but the content was that good, it got into hands of someone else. Just like when I got this award with the Barack Obama, somebody nominated me from that. You know, and I had to, you know, give them a whole resume of what I've done in years, but I wasn't expecting that. My story started from the hospital. I created my show from the hospital. We launched it. It was created in February 6th. We launched it April 2006, and I was in the hospital February 2006. So get out of your head and get into your heart, whether you're starting a show, if you're interviewing, start asking for the big ones. I'm telling you, they will get you there faster rather than slower, sooner rather than later. So ask for the big ones and just go for it. That's what I got to say.
Wow.
That's my story and I'm sticking to it.
I love it. Raven, this has been so, so valuable for everyone listening. And I've had a blast. How do people stay connected with you and what do we want them to do next?
Well, you know what? I'm going to put a link in on your page right there. And I'd like to offer those of you that are interviewing, live streaming broadcasters, podcasters, or not, I would like to offer you a profit from your interview breakthrough session with me. It's about a 20-minute session. Awesome. And for the first 10 people that go to my calendar, you know, I think I blocked out 15 slots for people that'll be watching this, because I know they'll be watching the replays, you know, so just book. It will tell you when I don't have any more. Okay. But the first 10 people are going to get a ticket to our six-figure interview secrets live event in October, 12th, 13th, and 14th. We always have a red carpet awards night, and this is the first year we're going to really show people how to take interviews and go from zero to six figures, and you'll get my blueprint and my roadmap and a lot of other insider secrets that I wasn't able to hear today. So 10 people will get those live tickets, so hurry up and book with me.
Wow. And this is just the tip of the iceberg. We know, Raven, it goes so much deeper. And thank you for going as deep as we could in this hour. And we're so excited to see your success. Everyone, definitely get to that event. Stay connected with Raven. Take the next step with her. Let her know how much you loved this interview, because it was awesome. And Raven, thanks so much for coming on. And we'll see you soon, okay?
All right. Thank you, Chris. Chris.
Awesome. Take care. From the bottom of my heart, thank you for tuning in. Right now, we've reached the end of this episode, but this is the start of a whole new beginning. Each and every moment, you have an opportunity to rewrite your story. Right here, right now, decide and commit who you are going to be. Think about how you will use these ideas, wisdom, and inspiration to make the difference in your life. What actions will you take today and every day to step into your greatest possible self? Again, a big shout out to our sponsor, EmployeeEscapePlan.com. If you are committed to learning how to truly harness your abilities and passions to serve the people who are hungry and desperate for what you have to offer, make a great income off of your genius, or if you're ready to get more clients to pay you more money, head over to www.EmployeeEscapePlan.com and let Joe know you were sent by Chris. Did you enjoy this episode? Let your friends know about it. Share the website, beyourgps.com, and send me some love on social media. If you want to clarify your vision, uncover blind spots, get more energy, tap into your flow, and take massive action, head over to beyourgps.com/coaching to schedule some time into my calendar. Now, master yourself, create your reality, and make every day your best day ever.